now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is When There Is No Peace. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. Would you like to attend? Write to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Frank, I was reading a magazine article which said that 1913 was known as an international peace year. But where do we find peace between nations even today? I know the Bible says that there will be a time when the people will say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Aren't we living in such a time now? But first, let me tell our radio audience that this Frank and Ernest program is broadcast by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many groups of Bible students and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Frank, back to the subject. Why is there so much talk of peace year after year, and yet still we have no real assurance of lasting peace?
Russell, the Bible clearly foretold this situation and pointed out what it would signify in relation to the outworking of the divine plan to really establish lasting peace. And on a much larger scale, I believe, than many people think.
What do you mean? Will you develop your thought a little?
Well, as you know, Russell, it is now pretty well recognized that the present dilemma in which the world finds itself stems from the First World War, which began in 1914. Now, you mentioned that 1913 was an international peace year. It was during that year that the Peace Palace at The Hague was dedicated. Goodwill was expressed among the nations on a worldwide scale.
How about that? An international cry of peace, peace.
But, as we know, this cry meant little or nothing, for in less than a year, the first worldwide war in history began. So while they cried peace, peace, in reality, there was no peace.
Frank, didn't they say that the First World War was a war to end wars?
Yes, and if you will look back over world developments between the First and Second World Wars, you will find that much of the planning done by nations was associated with the idea of peace. The League of Nations was formed to keep peace. Many peace conferences were held. Almost innumerable peace societies sprang up, both in this country and in Europe.
Yes, but that's what I mean. All of them failed to produce world peace.
All of which emphasizes the accuracy of the prophecies which declared that they would say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Another of these prophecies is found in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Perhaps you had better read this passage. It's very enlightening. Will you read it, please?
Yes, I will. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
You see, that text expresses the same thought as the Old Testament prophecy, which tells of a time when they would say peace, peace, when there is no peace.
Yes, that is correct. Sudden destruction would come upon them, it says, as travail upon a woman with child.
This means that the worldwide trouble which would come upon the nations at the end of this age would be in spasms, separated by periods of partial peace or easement. And how true this has been in the experiences of the world, beginning with 1914.
Well, it certainly did come unexpectedly upon the nations in 1914. But I notice, Frank, that Paul's prophecy associates these events with the day of the Lord. He says that this day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, and that in this day, sudden destruction comes. Now then, my question is, what is the day of the Lord?
The day of the Lord means the day when the Lord's hand would be overruling in the affairs of men in preparation for the establishment of his long-promised kingdom.
But, Frank, you say that the Lord's day denotes a time when the Lord is overruling in the affairs of men. Hasn't this always been true? Hasn't God always been overruling in the affairs of men?
Not in the matter in which it is true today. It is different now, for the time has come for the kingdom of Christ to manifest itself. Russell, that thought is enlarged upon considerably in the little book entitled Our Lord's Return, showing that the day of the Lord is the day of Christ's return.
And coming as a thief in the night means, then, I suppose, that the day of the Lord would come unexpectedly upon the world.
That's right, and that it would actually be here for a considerable time before the world was aware of what was taking place.
But, Frank, why should the day of the Lord be a time of destruction? One would think that the day of the Lord would be a time of peace.
Oh, it will be eventually, but according to the Bible, this day lasts throughout his second advent. It includes the reign of Christ and his church. And Paul tells us that Christ must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And Russell, everything on this earth which is not in harmony with God and for the eternal good of his human creation is to be destroyed during the day of the Lord. Included are the unrighteous institutions which form a part of what the Apostle Paul designates this present evil world. Nations and peoples of earth will then no longer be allowed to follow their own selfish ways.
Of course, I agree that that will mean genuine peace when it is established.
Yes, no longer will it be a matter of saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. In fact, Russell, this distressing period of trouble and war through which the world has been passing ever since 1914 is helping to teach the people that they cannot, by their own wisdom, cope with the problem of human selfishness and bring peace to the world.
I can't say that they have learned this lesson yet.
Not to any great extent, but ultimately they will. The prophet Isaiah tells us that when they do, they will say, "Come, let us go up to the kingdom of the Lord, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths."
Well, how about that?
And the prophecy assures us that when the nations thus learn the Lord's ways, they will not learn war anymore. And as the book Our Lord's Return so clearly reveals, this will be the situation all over the world.
Frank, is that what the prophecy means which declares that of the increase of Christ's kingdom and of peace that there shall be no end?
Yes.
Christ will then be the Prince of Peace.
Yes, and the best part of it is that his kingdom of peace is so near. When we recognize this and can have faith in the promises of God pertaining to the blessings of that kingdom, we then understand why the trouble is in the world today. Russell, our gift book is Our Lord's Return. Our sponsors, you know, will mail a copy free to each one who requests it.
That is right, they will. And friends, you are invited to send now for Our Lord's Return. It will be sent to you without cost. Simply ask for the return book. A card or a letter will do. The second coming of Christ is a fascinating topic. As presented in the Bible, this topic does not have the doomsday aspect sometimes mistakenly attached to it. The return book shows from the Bible that the second coming of Christ as the Prince of Peace constitutes man's only hope of survival. Do you fear death? Do you fear the atomic bomb? The hereafter? Send for our Lord's return. Its message removes fear and gives a bright hope for the future. What is the manner of Christ's return? How will every eye see him? What is the end of the world? Does the new state of Israel bear any relationship to the second coming of Christ? These are some of the questions you will find answered in our Lord's return, so send for it today. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the return book. It will be sent to you free.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.